today on Compassion Radio.
Like God told us, you know, go and show yourself. Be salt and light to the rights, to the lives of the people. Love them, satisfy their needs. And we began to accomplish most of the dreams we were dreaming about. Mm.
Welcome to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. Each day on the program, Bram takes you with him to the farthest corners of the globe, where he spends time with the people who've been called to share the love of Jesus Christ in the mission field. Now today, we are in Egypt. Considered a cradle of civilization, ancient Egypt saw some of the earliest developments of writing, agriculture, urbanization, organized religion, and central government. Iconic monuments such as the Giza Necropolis and its Great Sphinx, as well as the ruins of Memphis, Thebes, Karnak, and the Valley of the Kings, are spread across the land. Now, Egypt was an early and important center of Christianity, but was largely Islamized in the 7th century and remains a predominantly Muslim country, albeit with a significant Christian minority. Recently, Bram had the rare opportunity to sit down for a fascinating conversation with Maher Fouad, a man God called more than 30 years ago to unite Arab evangelicals throughout the region. Mr. Fouad is the founder of the Arab World Evangelical Ministers Association, an organization that does many things, including the equipping and training of churches and missionaries. I'm Frank Montenegro, inviting you to join us for part two of this conversation. Here's Bram.
Can you describe for the Americans who are hearing this program what the Egyptians themselves are facing in persecution and where it's coming from?
Well, this is a very sensitive question.
Yes.
So I don't know how much I can tell you, but...
I understand that. I'm not trying to push anything that might be dangerous for people.
Sometimes, you know, we don't use the word persecution, but we use oppositions or pressures coming.
Before I go into that, then, describe for me how you would define the difference between an opposition or a difficulty and persecution. Where's the line for you?
Well, it's different terms. It was the same thing, you know. It depends, you know, how do you see it. Hmm. If you see it persecution, the only way sometimes is to escape. Hmm. If you find it challenging and some pressures, now, if it is pressures or oppositions, now this is a good time just to stand firm and face it. So persecution is a very hard word, and sometimes it just pushes you to leave everything and leave. And people say, because we are persecuted, you know, so we need asylum here or whatever. But we say, well, this is just the natural part of the Christian life.
Now, there's an important point right there. And we've been iterating this on our program for the past 20 or 30 years because of the experiences we've had sitting down with people who are doing the work, that this is the normal Christian life, to quote some famous authors.
It is. Well, read the Bible, you know. Yeah. So and every page of the Bible, the church in its beginning was just dealing with that as oppositions, you know, and Jesus mentioned that.
Yes.
So we are not surprised. We are, so why? Because, you know, when we say persecution, we put ourselves as a victim. And we are not.
See, that's a very
but good. We are part of these countries, and we are the originals, you know. These are our countries. Usually, everywhere in the world, you know, sometimes this is the life of the minorities, because we are minority, you know, in a way.
One of the largest in all of Africa.
And we deal with that, you know, but we know that this is our countries, we have to remain in it, and our roots are in it, and we still have message, and we still have callings from God to remain and to face that. And when we think like that, I mean, in a positive way.
Yes.
Believe me, we can overcome a lot of pressures easily.
I think it's important for the American audience to understand this, because the word persecution is being tossed around as if it's a political football in America.
Yeah.
Even for us, we feel like we're persecuted because we have, as you say, oppositions or difficulties now with our own government. Of course, we know it's an orders of magnitude difference for other countries, because we don't have, in these nations, a history and a legal history of freedoms of religion or conscience. And in countries where you do work, there is no lack of freedom of conscience, but there is often consequence for acting on the conscience that God is building in you. And so the cost of being a disciple of Christ has to be calculated in planning for what you will do with your life and what the Holy Spirit's asking of you. So when you talk about building the tower, for you this is building with living stones. We've calculated how much it will cost us to be a presence that's open and public in this country, in this culture, and we're willing to pay that price. So you make that decision early, and then God shows you how much it will cost, but he also shows you how much his grace will afford you in the process.
Yes.
So you enter into that. But I think it's important for us to capture again that the word persecution is tossed around as if it's something light or inconsequential or just political. It's not. Persecution is about perspective. And you're saying that it's probably more helpful to start with understanding pressures and oppositions and resisting those with a godly attitude, perspective, and strength.
Yes.
And also serving while you're there and not running.
Right.
Okay. So yeah. How do you help those who are being oppressed the most to stand their ground and be a witness where they are?
Well, in fact, there are many ways, you know, to deal with that, you know. First, we need to work in our weak points, you know, as a Christians. Fear is a big source of pulling us, you know, a big reason that we pull out and close our doors and hide somewhere. And you know, Christian wise, if we begin to hide ourselves,
yes,
and to be and fear will guide us. Now forget about anything. So we are trying to deal with the fear in the hearts and minds of the Christians all over, beginning of leaders till anybody you know in the church. Mm-hmm. And I believe that if we can deal with that and overcome that and depend on God more and have and to be brave enough to show ourselves, to speak loudly, to reach people, to show them God's not preaching, but mm-hmm. God's love in a practical way.
Yes,
I think now we can cross a big gap between us and the communities, and we can overcome 60% of the problem. Mm-hmm. So now we deal with the other 40%, which is the culture. The way people are thinking.
Cultures and politics.
So pressures are not mainly coming from the political side.
Yes.
It is coming from the social side. I mean, the way of thinking, the culture.
And
a big part of it coming out of the ignorance of the people about Christians and churches and Christianity. So we say, show yourself, people will love you. Give them, help their needs in a Christian way, people will accept you. And this is what happened.
Can you give me a specific story, perhaps, of a pastor or a community that you, through OEMA, helped encourage to stand their ground and to express love under danger? Give me a story like that so we understand what it means to actually live this out the way you're describing it.
I'm not good in the storytelling, but I can give you an example about that. You
please.
Know, for many times we say we were closing our doors and we were satisfied by and talking to each other all the time. And we discovered that we are isolated from the community, you know, communities all over. So we began to go out and preach, and we failed because nobody will listen to you. You know?
Yes.
And after a while, we said, okay, let's open new channels, you know, with the people without any hidden agenda.
Yes.
Just to go, like God told us, you know, go and show yourself. Be salt and light life, to the rights to the lives of the people. Help them, love them, satisfy their needs, And we began to create some channels, like NGOs and so on, mm-hmm. just to go and discover the needy categories of people and help them. And I tell you that we accomplished most of the dreams we were dreaming about. Mm.
Hearts did open up, people
because you know, this is what Jesus said, you know, people would see your good doings. And if it's good doings, it will be by the Holy Spirit.
This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. There's a lot more coming up, so please stay with us. Now, if you've missed any part of today's broadcast, you can listen again just by opening up your favorite browser app on your computer, smartphone, or tablet and going to CompassionRadio.com. And while you're there, check out our newsletter to find out more about this ministry. And please be sure to sign up for our email updates. Again, just go to CompassionRadio.com.
Just a day away, but Lord, I trust you. The best and worst of days are yet to come. Be glorified regardless of the cost. Be magnified whether joy or loss. Lord, I trust you.
Selah with a song called Lord, I Trust You from their album Unbreakable. And we'll send you your very own copy of it today when you support this ministry financially. You can do that by going to CompassionRadio.com. That's CompassionRadio.com. We are always on mission. This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria.
I've heard many other missionaries have talked about the resistance that happens in some cultures that once you satisfy a physical need, they're no longer open to the gospel because they have what they wanted in the first place, which was clean water or streets or schools.
Yeah.
But what I'm hearing is that may be true in some cultures. You have to leave with the gospel open and big first.
Yeah.
Other cultures, like what you're experiencing here in Egypt, respond in different ways to the hospitality that happens when you care for their children, mm-hmm. when you come to them and sit down long enough to be known by them. And so the culture itself provides ways in that open the doors further, but in a slower manner.
Mm-hmm.
Do you find that is true across most of the Arab world, that it's a slow, persistent kind of love that then opens the door, or does it happen very abruptly?
Well, it depends, you know. Loving people is not satisfying their physical needs. Mm. Loving people is satisfying their psychological needs. And these are the real needs of the people. Last time I was visiting one of the refugee camps.
Yes.
All of them Syrians. All of them are not from Christian background at all.
And how many of those camps are here in Egypt now?
Well, we have we don't have camps, you know, okay. but people living here and there. So we have Sudanese.
There are many refugees living within the cities.
I'm talking about something like 5 million
yes.
refugees, mainly from Sudan, yes. Syria and Iraq, some from Somalia. But mainly, you know, these are the three countries, and Sudanese are growing.
So for the ones that are in the camps and the ones that are not in the camps that are embedded in the cities right now, what do you find that their biggest needs are?
Yeah, in fact, I'm talking about camps, you know.
Okay.
We were in Lebanon visiting because we have ministry okay. there in two camps. And we go to visit. We bring some physical needs to the people. But when we were leaving, some of the leaders came to me and they said, we don't care for the physical needs, for food. Mm. We care for your coming.
Mm.
So please come because nobody is asking about us. Everybody is ignoring us.
Yes.
And you know, the Syrians, you know, are ignored by the Lebanese society and so. And these are, when we go, and sometimes we don't bring anything with us,
mm.
but they welcome us in their tents, and they just open their hearts and speak. And I'm talking about this, you know, it's not a matter of physical needs at all. People need much deeper than giving them food. They need just to listen to them. They need to recognize them. They need to respect them. I'm talking about poor people or yes. refugees or everybody. And this is what I mean by reaching people. You know, it's not physical needs. And I'm not talking about poor people. I'm talking about rich people also.
Mm. Yeah.
And the only the only thing will touch their hearts and minds is to reach them by Christian spirit.
Mm.
Because this is what we have, you know. We don't have money. We don't have food sometimes. And for rich people, they don't need money or food, but they need counseling.
Yes.
They need to feel that, you know, somebody is loving them and because they are isolated in many times.
It is fascinating every time.
Sorry, I'm talking about showing the Christian spirit yes. to the people, not satisfying their physical needs. And this is the societies, this is the communities all over the Arab countries need. They need some people to reach them by love and care without any hidden agenda.
And without a hidden agenda, they have to believe that you care, period. That even if they don't accept your Isa as their Lord and Savior, that they accept you. And that relationship has to start somewhere. And if that can be enough for us to start with, we have to trust that God can make more of it, like a seed planted.
Well, I believe that it is a joint effort, you know.
Yes.
It is the effort of the believers and the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Let them accept you and respect you as a Christian.
Yes.
Without hiding your identity. And let the Holy Spirit complete. So I don't need even, you know, to introduce Isa to them, you know. He will introduce himself to them.
Yeah.
But you need to bridge the gap.
Mm.
So they change, as I said, you know, they change their minds. They change the way they think about Christians and Christianity.
And that itself is kind of a repentance, because they've been trained in many sects within Islam to hate the Christians because that's just what you do with them.
They hate Christians most of the time because they don't understand Christianity.
Mm. Yeah.
You know? And they think that Christians are very bad people. So now, we need just to bridge this with love and to show them that we are not this kind of people they think. And when they accept you, they listen to the Holy Spirit.
Now, of course, when the refugees
because
come
sometimes
to you,
we are the barrier between the Holy Spirit and people, you know.
Yes.
So do your work and the Holy Spirit will complete. Sorry, you know.
No, that's fine. When you go to the camps, of course, you are now in a position of strength and relatively because you have peace where you are, and you go to a place where it's calm, but people's hearts are not at peace. They're still wrapped up in the war. That's why so much counseling is needed, so much spiritual insight to understand the torment they've gone through as people, so that, yes, it can be most profound to be ministering to the most important emotional needs first by actually asking them questions and listening to their stories is a huge amount of ministry. The most important thing you do.
This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. If you've missed any part of today's broadcast, you can listen again anytime just by opening up your favorite browser app on your computer, smartphone, or tablet and going to CompassionRadio.com. While you're there, check out our newsletter to find out more about this ministry. And please be sure to sign up for our email updates. You'll also find our P.O. Box info along with all our social media links. And if you have a moment, please take the partner survey. This would really help us to better serve you. Again, go to CompassionRadio.com. Now, if this broadcast is a blessing to you, would you consider three things? First, please pray for us. Your prayers are vital to the effectiveness of this ministry. Second, would you please tell a friend about Compassion Radio? Sharing this broadcast will help us reach as many people as possible with the wonderful reports of the exciting things happening in the mission field all over the world. And finally, would you please consider supporting this ministry financially? We are 100% listener supported, so your gifts make it possible for us to continue. Today when you give, we'll send you a copy of the album from gospel vocal trio Sela called Unbreakable as our way of saying thanks.
Jesus, we will be faithful till you meet us. Give us your courage as we finish. We want to hear well done. We are the people of the cross.
We are the people of
we choose Christ and count all else as lost. We won't be shaken. Hope won't be taken. We won't be shaken. Hope won't be taken. We are the people of the cross. We are the people of the cross.
You can give just by going to CompassionRadio.com. Again, that's CompassionRadio.com. And thanks so much. Here's Bram with a closing word.
Hi, friends. I'm in Beirut this week, following some of the most inspiring people you'll ever meet, as they do incredible work. The gospel is going out with power here and redeeming people in amazing ways. In turn, they've been introducing me to the beautiful people that God has placed in front of them. Make sure to spend a few minutes at the Compassion Radio Facebook page to see some pictures and videos of these wonderful folks. I want to bring you these stories and interviews so that your faith will expand and burst forth with joy and powerful authority. That is our calling. Will you help us keep doing this very thing?
Will you help us stay on the air and in the field, bringing you good news stories each and every day? We can't do it without your prayer and support, friends, and right now we need both. God has always inspired our Compassion Radio family to give in exactly the measure needed, and I'm counting on the fact that this is still just as true today. When you give, I know that God will be pleased, and the world will hear how much you love them. So let us hear from you today.
Thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy day to listen. And be sure to join us again for more Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This program is sponsored by Compassion Radio Ministries and your generous financial support.